Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. Welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we really appreciate that. That means a lot to us. You're going to be glad you did because Mike Stewart's here. Mike is president of Stewart & Stewart, Incorporated. He's also the author of Close More Sales. He's one of our top sales experts in the Brain Trust. He's our good friend. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks. It's great to be with you, as always.
It's good to have you back. Mike, as you move around in the marketplace, you know, as you know, we're going through a period of time right now where the stock markets are dealing with the subprime meltdown and the markets are a little bit schizophrenic. And you know, I look around and I see that's Wall Street. Then I look around and I see Main Street. Main Street's kind of okay. Main Street's, you know, we don't have those kinds of roller coaster gyrations. We don't listen to one person with some bad news and assume that that's going to take everybody down like the stock market does. So even though we've got these challenges in the stock market, including the global markets.
Yes.
As you roam around the country and work with your customers, I know most of your people are businesses doing business with other businesses.
Yeah.
Not necessarily consumers, but you know, none of us are very far from the consumer, even if we are B2B. We're all you know, only once removed from the customer, from the ultimate consumer. But as you roam around, what are your customers and what are the people that your clients, what are they telling you about the economy?
Well, I'm working primarily in the sales arena, and but the sales team is very often the first to feel the attitudes of corporate management or of management.
The pushback or the acceptance?
Well, it's mostly pushback in one form or another, and I hate to say this. I'm an optimist, and I'm positive about most everything. But it's been my experience that when things are going really well, management tends to take credit for it.
Right.
And when things are not going well, they like to blame the sales force.
There's
too
no
often.
Question about it. It's,
yeah,
it's,
that's true.
It's classic.
But generally, what's the attitude I see is positive. Most of the clients that we're working with are positive. You know, they feel good. One of the issues that we're seeing is the impact of energy variations and the pricing of energy and the availability of energy, and how those costs are translated. That's something that's come up recently this past week three different times.
Hmm.
And
how did it come up?
Just in conversation with friends who are business people.
And they're saying, at what point in time is $90 a barrel oil going to really, you know, going to start being a big impact on me?
Well, it's oil, natural gas, and you know, a lot of people feel like it's manipulated by the government, and it comes down, you know, that comes down. But generally speaking, the sales teams that we're working with are positive. They see opportunity. That's what I'm seeing, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about as you're talking to the people, the salespeople who are going out, the experience of a salesperson these days, the world that he or she operates in, is a different world in the 21st century than it was when you and I were coming up as pups, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, it is very
people
different.
People aren't sitting around waiting on you to drop by on them like they did, you know, when you and I were selling back in the 70s and even the 80s. You know, people were kind of waiting on a salesperson to come by and tell them what was going on, but they're not waiting on that. In fact, they're not even expecting you to come by, are they, anymore?
Well, more and more. You know, I call that the new paradigm of selling. The economy, and in the form of costs and logistics, have changed the face of sales, in my opinion. Not only do sales, the customers not sit around and wait on us, they're ahead of salespeople very often, and regardless of the size of the sales team or the size of the business. So many customers today, based on my experience, are spending their time on the Internet, and they know as much or more, and this is surprising and shouldn't be, but they know as much or more as salespeople do about what's going on.
Especially with regard to their own to the competition.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And what things are worth.
Yeah, and in the marketplace in general.
Yeah, stand by. Mike, we've got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. Mike Stewart is our guest. He and I will be right back. Stay with us.
All over this town, and I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, hey, I belong.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Duke of Earl. Good to be with you and having a great visit with our good friend Mike Stewart. And he's our good friend and the president of Stewart and Stewart Incorporated, the author of Close More Sales. Mike, give us your website, please.
It's Stewart. S-T-E-W-A-R-T, StewartSalesDynamics.com.
.com. And they can find your book there, can't they?
They sure can. Close More Sales is done real well.
And they can also find out about all the things that you do, how you help businesses reach out and touch your customers. And so, folks, I hope you'll check that out. Stewart Sales Dynamics with an S, right?
That's it.
.com. StewartSalesDynamics.com.
You got it.
Mike, we were talking about how... When you and I were coming up as young pups, Mike, in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and getting our, you know, as we became professionals and all that, the sales techniques that we knew, that knowing our product, knowing our customers a little bit, but the sales, the ability to communicate with people and to get them to talk to you in such a way that fostered, you know, a selling conversation, that was paramount for us. But today, you still have to have those things. But what's more important than anything else is the information about your customer, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I say that, I agree with that. Discovery truly is the heart of a sale. And that's the ability to ask good questions and just keep your mouth shut and listen. Mm. And actively listen by involving the customer in the sales conversation. Customers don't want to be sold as much as customers want to buy in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest challenge that I'm seeing, Jim, before the break, we were talking about changes in attitudes and changes in the marketplace and so mm-hmm. forth, and what salespeople are doing. And you know what I see still is what they're not doing. You know, I like to think of sales as a fairly simple process. It involves initiation, introduction, inquiry, information, informing, and influencing decision, and it's a logical process. The heart of that is discovery. It's asking the right questions and being quiet and listening, and finding the express need, the problem that the customer is trying to solve, and
that's not easy for a high-powered salesperson.
It's very hard, and in our training programs, we do a little exercise. And the question is this, is it easy or hard to use open-ended questions? And a lot of salespeople say, it's pretty easy, so we let them go for it. And they'll ask maybe two open-ended questions.
And by the way, folks, open-ended questions all began with one of the interrogatives, who, what, when, where, how, and why.
Well, yeah, and they can't be answered by yes or no.
That's right.
And they're designed to get a customer or a prospect to thinking and talking. And then, you know, when we just – our job is to listen and listen carefully, and then instead of jumping right back in is just be quiet and let the customer go ahead and take you where he wants to go. And that's so hard for salespeople.
And being comfortable with that. I mean
– Oh, yeah.
But see, this is where preparation allows you to do that. If you're not prepared, then you're going to be frightened when they take you down a road that you don't know about. But if you're prepared, you can say, you know what, I don't care which way this customer takes me, I'm going to go right with him. I'm going to be fine.
In fact,
I'll be a little ahead of him.
Well, yeah, and we've got to be careful there, because there's a form of call reluctance called over-preparation, and people are afraid they'll be asked questions that they can't answer. And so instead of making calls, they take too much time in preparing. I agree with you 100%. We've got to be totally familiar with the tools in our toolkits and what our offering is and how it offers benefits to our customers and the problems that our offering will solve.
My experience, though, Mike, is the really good salespeople, over-preparation is not usually a problem.
Oh, no.
Over-ego is probably more of a problem.
Yeah, but, you know, it's I'll take that any day.
Yeah,
it's so hard for lots of us to make those calls when we don't know what we're getting into. It's so hard for us to accept the fact that we're not in control of the sales process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we influence it. That's our job, is to facilitate and influence it. But that customer, that prospect, is going to decide where they're going. And
Mike,
could we not?
One of the attitudes I always like to assume. I got to the point where I was assuming this attitude, and it helped me a lot. Was whenever I realized that you know, as you said earlier, if I let the customer go, they were going to take me in their direction, not in my direction, which was best for them, best for me too, ultimately. But the way I got comfortable with that was when I said, you know what, I'm going to help this customer, even if it means I don't get to sell them something.
Oh, well, you know.
And if you have that attitude, you don't care where they go.
That's why I say that selling is all about customers and their problems. It's not about salespeople and their products.
Right. Yeah.
And so we will make more sales, and we'll build more relationships. We'll build stronger bonds between ourselves and those customers if they fully understand that we're there to help them and not to lie in our own pockets. Now, there's no question about why we're there. We're there to make a sale,
right,
if it's a win-win situation. But the worst thing we can do, the worst thing a speaker like me can do, is to accept an engagement with an audience that I'm not suited for, you
right.
know, where we're not suited to work together.
Exactly.
And the same thing, you know, if you sell somebody something they don't need, that's the last sale you're going to make to them.
Well, I've actually recommended other things to customers when I found out that, you know, they weren't really ready to buy from me.
Oh,
and I've
yeah.
actually had them to say, well, I'm going to take yours anyway. And I'd say, well, but I thought we decided that you weren't ready for this right now. He said, yeah, I know I said that before, but I like what you're doing. I'm going to buy from you anyway.
That's right. You both.
It'll happen.
That's exactly right.
It can happen. Stand by, Mike. Mike Stewart, ladies and gentlemen. I told you he was a pretty smart guy. We'll be back. 10-10. Stay with us. We're back at 7-till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's our flagship where you can find all the stuff that we do here every day, and then also our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. So check those out and use them to your advantage. They're all free thanks to our corporate partners. Mike Stewart is our guest. We're talking about doing a better job of selling, and Mike, as we went to the break, we were talking about, you know, if you really have the right attitude, if you can just get yourself to, if you can just subordinate your own immediate gratification to that of your the person in front of you, the prospect to the customer, and if you can just, I mean, this is not easy to do, because, you know, I was very successful in sales. I was a hard charger. I was, you know, I won a lot of awards and made some money in selling. You don't get that by being a wallflower and by being, you know, being afraid to speak up for yourself. But I really got to the point where I said, after a long time, not after too long, but before a long time, I should say, I got to the point where I said, you know, if I'm going to help this customer, this prospect, that's my goal, is to go in and help them right now.
As a problem solver.
If it means I sell them something, great. If it means that I send them somewhere else, that'll be fine. because if I don't make a sale today, I'll make a friend, and it'll be a sale one day.
Yes, we see that a lot, especially in our business. You know, there are lots of people who talk to us who, frankly, can't afford our fees, so we help them find another speaker.
Yep.
And then when later on, they'll come back and they'll hire us. So it's a process. And Jim, one of the things I found is that where you're talking with someone who uses products like yours or services similar to yours and so forth, that often you can find a fit. It may not be what you thought it was going to be right up front, but if you dig deep, if you continue to dig deep and ask questions, often you can find a fit. And this is
right.
Where I see salespeople can improve almost universally, almost across the board, is they go in with one idea in mind of what the customer wants and the customer needs, and they try to sell that rather than continue to ask questions
right.
and find where that fit is. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, that we don't tend to think of sales as a process, and it truly is. You know, you move from one level to the next, and one of the keys is understanding that different types of people take different lengths of time in order to make a buying decision. Certain types of people will make a decision after only two meaningful information gathering contacts, where other people take as many as seven information gathering contacts in order to have enough to make a decision. Most salespeople quit after two or three contacts. And so persistence is still important, but we just bring a fresh idea on every contact that we can and move the process along. And it's really important, Jim.
But here's the other thing, Mike. If you have to make that many contacts, in the 21st century, people don't want you to make that many contacts with them if you haven't been beneficial to them in the previous one.
You're right. They've got to understand and believe that you have their best interest at heart. And a contact today is different. I'm not talking about face-to-face sales calls necessarily. You know, there are lots of different ways to convey information to people, you know, by telephone, by email, by mm-hmm. other types of information. But the key is this, Jim, in my opinion, and that is to understand that it's a process, that you're moving forward, and you end every customer contact with a call to action. You ask them to make a decision and to take an action to move it to the next level. And as long as you're doing that, then you are moving the sales process ahead. And most salespeople, the two most common closes are, hey, it's been great talking with you. You know, it looks like we got a lot of opportunity together here. Is it okay if I get back in touch with you? And they say, oh, yeah. Or you say, it looks like we've got a great opportunity here to move ahead and to be of help to you. If you've got any questions, be sure and call me, or if it's okay, I'd like to stay in touch. Is that okay? And they'll say, oh, yeah, that's fine.
but as long as they feel like there has been something in it for them.
Well, yeah, but you need to have a plan. You need to have a very specific plan of what you're going to do next mm-hmm. and what they're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just a conversation.
That's right, and they don't have time for that.
No.
They don't need any more people to have conversations with.
That's right.
They need problem solvers.
They need solutions, exactly.
Yeah.
They need solutions.
Mike, give us that website one more time.
It's StuartSalesDynamics.com.
The book is called Close More Sales. That's one of the things Mike offers, is an outstanding book on persuasion skills that boost your selling power. But also you can find out more about his speaking schedule and some of the details there, and training, some of the ways he helps people with their sales force. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, thanks a million. It was great talking with you.
Hit them where they mow, Mike.
Okay, take care.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. This program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.